Russia's impact on social media.
80,000 campaign-related Facebook posts.
The White House and the Mueller probe.
People don't care. They're disgusted.
Stranded at sea, rescued, now challenged.
The details of their story are raising questions.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. After a day of explosive news in the Russia investigation, representatives of top tech firms are in Washington this morning for hearings on Moscow's efforts to meddle in the 2016 election. We're live with CBS's Vicky Barker.
Facebook, Twitter, and Google-owned YouTube expected to admit the Russian-backed meddling was even more extensive than previously thought, reaching as many as 126 million Facebook users, affecting some 2,700 Twitter accounts, and involving several suspect YouTube channels.
They're going to have to come up with new ways to address these issues, or else they're going to have to face a bipartisan approach of regulating Silicon Valley, and that's not something they want.
PR expert Richard Levitt calling this a belated wake-up call for social media and lawmakers alike. Steve?
Well, the White House is trying to steer clear of the indictment of President Trump's former campaign chairman in the Russia investigation. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Chief of Staff John Kelly tried to distance the president from the unfolding controversy.
All of the activities, as I understand it, that they were indicted for was long before they ever met Donald Trump.
But he told Fox News that he and the president discussed the probe multiple times a day.
It is very distracting to the president, as it would be to any citizen, to be investigated for something while at the same time trying to carry the weight of what being president of the United States means.
While reports swirled that the president was fuming Monday as the Russia indictments played out on TV, a senior Republican told the Washington Post, "Everyone is freaking out." But White House lawyer Ty Cobb pushed back, telling CBS News, "I don't know where the perception of agita comes from, but it's not real. And the walls are not caving in."
The guilty plea by former Trump aide George Papadopoulos suggests his cooperation could implicate others. CBS's Jeff Pagaz looks at what's now known about what he did.
According to court documents, Papadopoulos began emailing Trump campaign officials and pushing meetings with Russian operatives. At a national security meeting on March 31, 2016, Papadopoulos told Mr. Trump that he had connections that could help arrange a meeting between then-candidate Trump and President Putin. 10 days earlier, Mr. Trump introduced his newly minted foreign policy team to editors from the Washington Post.
George Papadopoulos, he's an oil and energy consultant, excellent guy.
But on Monday night, Mr. Trump's lawyer told CBS News that the president definitely doesn't have a clue who George Papadopoulos is.
Washington lobbyist Tony Podesta has resigned from his firm after yesterday's unsealed indictment revealed other companies worked for the pro-Russian group in Ukraine that had ties to Paul Manafort. It's believed Podesta's is one of them. He's the brother of John Podesta, who chaired Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. One of the signature shows of TV's streaming era is coming to an end. Netflix says the upcoming sixth season of House of Cards will be its last. It's considering a spin-off show. Netflix says that decision is not linked to the bombshell news about the star, Kevin Spacey. Spacey's apology for an alleged sexual advance against a 14-year-old actor 3 decades ago included his coming out as gay. That sparked widespread criticism.
Kevin Spacey took what should be a proud and joyous moment, which is an actor coming out, and he's conflated it with something like sexual assault. This doesn't help the conversation.
Daniel Reynolds is senior editor of The Advocate, a magazine that serves LGBT interests. The International Emmys have called off plans to honor Spacey. Hollywood's Producers Guild has taken new action against disgraced mogul Harvey Weinstein. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Los Angeles.
The guild has instituted a lifetime ban preventing Weinstein from being a member of the organization. Weinstein had already resigned from the guild. In a statement, the Producers Guild calls their move unprecedented. It refers to decades of reprehensible conduct by Weinstein and says sexual harassment can no longer be tolerated in our industry.
Weinstein has denied all allegations of non-consensual sex. A key suspect in the 2012 Benghazi, Libya attack is headed to this country after being seized by U.S. special forces over the weekend in Libya. U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and 3 others were killed in the attack. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's attorneys opened their defense at his sentencing hearing by putting him on the stand at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. CBS's Jim Krasula has more.
Speaking for 2 hours, emotionally at times, the 31-year-old soldier apologized to comrades who were wounded searching for him. He said he never intended or expected anyone to get hurt after he left his post in Afghanistan. Bergdahl said, quote, "I made a horrible mistake. Saying I'm sorry is not enough."
Bergdahl, who pleaded guilty to desertion, faces up to life in prison. The Trump administration is considering a possible appeal of yesterday's federal court ruling that knocked down the president's ban on military service for transgender people. The Pentagon's been considering what to do about current transgender members of the service. Military analyst Jeff McCausland.
Those in the military who are transgender can serve openly. And as of 1 January 2018, people who are openly transgender can join the military.
Well, Japanese police have arrested a man who had 9 dismembered bodies stored in coolers at his apartment outside Tokyo. The 27-year-old suspect confessed to killing the victims, cutting them up, and putting them in cold storage with cat litter. Police made that discovery while looking for a missing woman who's believed to be one of the victims. Well, we've told you about the story of 2 women who were stranded on their disabled sailboat in the Pacific Ocean for 5 months. They were rescued last week. But parts of their story are not adding up. CBS's Vladimir Dutier.
The U.S. Coast Guard says the pair had an emergency position indicating radio beacon, or EPIRB. It's a device that communicates with satellites to send a boat's location to emergency responders. Their beacon wasn't activated.
One of the women says they didn't activate it because they weren't in imminent physical danger. They also say their mast was damaged in a fierce storm that lasted for 3 days early on. But weather experts say there was no severe weather where they were during that time. The folks known as the food police are out with a new rap sheet. Here's CBS's Jim Shenavy.
The Center for Science and the Public Interest, the group that once described fettuccine Alfredo as a heart attack on a plate, is out with a list of chain restaurant menu items that are just loaded with sodium. P.F. Chang's pad thai with shrimp made the list at 5,250 milligrams of sodium. That's more than twice the recommended daily limit. Subway's foot-long spicy Italian with provolone and mayo led the sandwich category, nearly 3,400 milligrams of sodium. And Chili's gets the Lifetime Achievement Award for a wide array of salty meals, including Texas dry rub ribs, 6,250 milligrams of salt. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Changes at McDonald's. Newsweek reports it plans to sell only humanely raised chickens by 2024, and the fast food chain says reaction to its new McVegan sandwich in Finland is good. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.